Hey, welcome to Emerge. So good to see everyone here today. I am Pastor Wade Morin, and it's our honor and privilege to serve here at Emerge Church, and we're so glad that you are here with us today. And we are in the middle of a series entitled Mastermind. How many of you were here last week? Come on, wasn't that just an incredible service? If you missed last week, you want to make sure you go to our podcast and check out and listen to it, because today we're carrying on with this message. I'm going to recap a little bit before we jump into today's message. Come on, how about that last song this morning? Wasn't that awesome? Yes, just a heads up, that's going to be an Easter song. And so we went ahead and decided to play it today to get us ready, and we really, really like it a lot. And so we played it. So let's recap a little bit before we jump into today's message. We kicked off our Mastermind series last week, and this whole theme for Mastermind is, if you change the way you think and if you can change your mind, then you can change your life. Now, some people, when you start talking about the mind in church, they get really, really, really nervous about it, because we hear a lot in the Bible about our hearts, that God wants to work on our heart. But I need you to know that whenever we begin to talk about the soul, come on, how many of you got a soul? Got a little soul with a capital S, okay? Yeah, I'm not going to sing that, but I like that song. Anyway, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this is what I hear people say all the time. Oh, that person, they have such a good heart. They have a good heart. But I also hear people saying, but they messed up in the mind. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, are you messed up? Messed up in the mind. All right, anyway, sometimes I tell y'all to say stuff and y'all don't respond so quickly. I think you're processing it. I just like seeing the reaction of your neighbor when you tell them that. And so it's a little bit entertaining on this side. Anyway, there's a lot of things that we have picked up, a lot of habits and a lot of patterns that have been developed over time. And even though we're pouring out our heart to the Lord, we're not allowing Him to change our mind. And that's why things repeat in our lives. That's how easy it is to get on this cycle, this carousel, if you will, where we do good for a little while, and then maybe something comes up in our life, and maybe, possibly, we fall right back into those traps again and again. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever rode that carousel before where it was good, and then you come around, and then it's right back to this before, and it can be really, really discouraging. And so there were a few points last week that I want to recap with you. So here we go. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. And in other words, the way that you're living right now is a picture of how we have been thinking, okay? And if we change our thinking, think about the theme, if we can change our thinking, it's going to change our life, because our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so right now, if you're really discouraged and overwhelmed and disappointed about some things, your life is going to follow that. I promise you that the traffic happens like that every day. It's not just that one day that you were running late. It is every day, okay? I mean, but sometimes because of our thinking, we think everybody is doing this to me. Like tomorrow morning, I promise you, right now they're not sitting at home saying, what time do they leave for work? Let me get in touch with a few people and I'll crowd the highways so that they could be late for work. They're not doing that. But if you're discouraged and overwhelmed, it's very easy to just assume you're in my way. You're doing it, and it's affecting our lives. Our life is moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And last week we said you cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. It's going to be very hard for our lives to be positive when our mind is always negative. And so what do we do about this, Pastor Wade? That's good information to have, but what do you want me to do with this? And last week, we did a quick teaching on what repentance really is. Because a lot of times we think repent is, I'm sorry. And there is a part of sorry that comes with repentance. But repent means to change the way you think. It's a change in thinking, because if you change your thinking, you change your life. And so when it comes to save our souls, it's not just so my heart feels the little flutter because Jesus loves me. He's trying to get me to see that His plans for me are so much greater than what I'm trying to achieve all by myself. Amen? And so if we can grasp hold of this and really, really understand that when I repent, I'm not just coming to church to say, God, I'm so sorry I messed up. I will try better next week. When I'm repenting, I'm saying, I can't keep living this way. And if I do not change, this is going to happen again and again and again. So God, I need your help to change me, not just change my activity, but to change the way I think, change my perception. And if my perception changes, my thinking changes, my life is going to change. Are you grabbing this today? So here's a couple of points that we made last week. We said when we repent, we have to make a decision. It's a decision. I have decided I am no longer going to live this way. I am going to follow Jesus. It's a decision. And this is what I've learned. We are not always good at decision making. We make decisions based on what is the hottest thing in front of us. Right now, I'm not the hottest thing in front of you, but I'm just saying, this is the hottest thing happening in your life. If you think I'm hot, I'm sorry, I'm taken, okay? Just saying. Did not see this going this way. I did not. But here we are, okay? Here we are. Wow. Hey, just so you know, my kids always let me know when I'm throwing cheese at you. Just so you know, my boys are like, Dad, don't say that again. That was just the cheese. And look, he's looking at me right now like, where do we leave from here? We're so influenced by what's right in front of us. I mean, it's so exciting. It just grabs our senses. And we make decisions based on the thing that is like right there in front of us. And sometimes, as we're living through the course of our week, there are other things that come up that are hot button issues that grab our attention and cause us to make some decisions that lead us astray. That wasn't our intention, but we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. And so we walk away from the very thing that can save us. See, we're not just looking for a sorry, we're looking for a savior. We got to be saved. And so I have to make a decision, but then I have to take some action. Meaning this, once I've decided, I've got to follow through with that. If I decide that I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to follow through. Remember Jesus, whenever he was preparing to go to the cross, he had this episode in the garden and he was praying. And he says, Father, if you will, take this cup from me. In other words, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be an easier way. He has to make a decision at this point. And this is what he says, not my will, but yours be done. Even Jesus was faced with the opportunity to walk away from the decision that he had already made. He decided, I'm going to be the Savior. I'm going to go on the cross. But he was tempted to walk away. Thank God he followed through, amen? So you have to make a decision and you have to take some action. I'm going to show you a video real quick. And listen, before you start judging this whole sermon today, please stick with me. Watch this video. In a moment, I'm going to share some things with you that I think are groundbreaking for our thought life. That's going to help us live the life that God has for us. I'm going to move this out the way. I really, really want you to see this video. Check this out.
The human brain, made of approximately 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars that exist within our galaxy. The human brain monitors and regulates all of the body's actions and reactions. With over 5 trillion chemical operations occurring every second, and signals being transferred at speeds of over 260 miles per hour, our brain is rapidly analyzing and responding to all of the sights, sounds, and smells all around us. Now, because we are all born slaves to sin, our mind has been programmed to behave out of selfish desire. The way we think, dream, reason, and act are limited to the ways of this world. Now consider the facts for a moment. For every behavior we experience, our brain creates a neurological pathway. As behaviors are repeated, those pathways become increasingly more stable. Think of it this way. A single behavior maps out a dirt road in your brain, creating a basic pathway for your thoughts to travel. But as you repeat behaviors, your brain builds a highway, allowing for an increased volume and frequency of thoughts to move about, resulting in your day-to-day actions. In order to change our behavior, we must reprogram our brain. It requires the deconstruction of existing highways and is a process that takes time. The Bible directs us to take every thought captive and to commit daily to the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Word. And in time, the result is the formation of an entirely new neurological roadmap, leading you to the life you were meant to live.
Wasn't that powerful? All right? Is this on? Okay, just making sure. That's a powerful video. Now, I do understand that some people say, I did not come to church to have a little biology lesson, Pastor Wade. I did not need this today. I lost an hour last night, and you need to help me out. In the next few moments, I believe we're going to share some things that's going to be so worth that hour that you lost. You'll be glad that you got here an hour sooner today. I really believe it, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. This is such a strong verse. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Meaning this, we don't deal with things the way everyone else does. We're different. Look at your neighbor and say, you're different. We hesitated there. I wasn't sure about that one, but we said it. Okay, there you go. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, say power, to demolish, not to cope with, but to demolish strongholds. When we read the Bible, sometimes we gloss it over really quick and highlight those verses and never grab them. But this says they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Watch this, verse 5. This is very aggressive language. We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. This is aggressive. Now, I know we don't want to be considered aggressive, and I do not recommend that you are aggressive towards others. Amen? But I do recommend your aggression be taken out on thoughts that are contrary to what God has for you in your life. I do recommend some aggression towards some thoughts that would lead you to believe that you cannot be all that God says that you can be. That leads you to believe that everything that was paid for on the cross was not for you. We must demolish, say demolish. We must demolish those strongholds because it was paid for in full and it is for you. Look at your neighbor and say it is for you. I was a weak one. I was weak. You got to say it a little more intense. It is for you. So let's break it down. Divine power. Last week we told you this is where we get the word dynamite from. The word dunamis. Power. It's dunamis power. It's dynamite power. This is the explosive, miraculous power of God. And then this word stronghold in here, stronghold, it's a fortified military stronghold or a strong-walled fortress. And this is something that is in our mind. This is something that the enemy hurls lies. He throws condemnation and thoughts at you to lead you to believe that you can't. And thought by thought, word by word, he's literally building a prison around you to hold you captive. And what we try to do is to think our way right out of this, and we cannot. This stronghold must be demolished. Now, this is where it is so important that you understand that self-help cannot help you do this. Self-help cannot help you do this. Self-help will just make you feel stronger in a place of captivity. We have to demolish the strongholds, not using the weapons of the world. I know some of you that are self-help, you're mad at me right now because I just said that. And listen, get all the help you can because you need to function in your business. You need to function in your career and all that stuff. But there are some strongholds that are built in our life that only the power of God can demolish. So we have these strongholds in our mind. And when Jesus goes to the cross, this is so important. When Jesus goes to the cross, they place on his head a crown of thorns. Now, this wasn't just an ornamental piece that was on his head that made a really good marketing picture. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is good for Easter. Let's put a crown of thorns on his head. No. That crown of thorns, everywhere where it pierces through the skin, through the scalp, and blood begins to flow. Blood is being shed for all of the thoughts, all of the lies, all the condemnation that the enemy is trying to use to penetrate your mind to get you to the place of captivity when he comes to the cross to set us free. This is so important. Sometimes the cross is so important, but grab it all, not just a piece of it, all of it. He's on the cross, he's wearing the crown of thorns, and he is paying the price to set us free from all of those thoughts. Can I hear a good amen? All of them, not just some of them, but all of those thoughts. So the enemy, he's trying to use condemnation, he's trying to use lies to shape our thinking, and he's trying to build this prison around us, and he's telling us, you can't trust anyone, you won't succeed, you're always going to be broke, you're never going to amount to anything, God doesn't care about you, you can't tell them about your struggles, they're just going to reject you anyway. All these thoughts, the enemy, it's just constantly throwing. What is it doing? It's causing you to step back. It's causing you to walk away from the freedom that Christ has paid for on the cross. See, it's already been won. The battle has already been won. We're not walking in the victory, though. We're questioning it. It's already been paid for, and the strongholds in our mind says, yeah, that's for them, not for you. But it is for all who will believe. It is for you, amen? So how are we going to win this war in our mind? This is what I want to talk about. How are we going to win the war in our mind? If Jesus has paid the price for every single thought, blood was shed to cover every single thought. What about these thoughts that I'm having, Pastor Wade? How do I win this thought battle that is going on in my mind? Okay? And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to jot these things down. The first thing that I would say that we need to do is this. We need to identify the number one stronghold that is holding us back. Identify the one stronghold that is holding you back. There is one thought that is dominating you that is causing us to believe that I have to respond the way that I respond. Okay? Let me say this. If we can't identify what this is, we can't defeat it. So this may take a little bit of time for you because maybe you just fall into the category of, Pastor Wade, I'm just all messed up, okay? Listen, I know, I'm there too, okay? Jesus, help us. But I want you to think about what we saw in this video here a few minutes ago. And I want you to think about when we're having a negative thought, how it begins to mess with the chemical makeup in our brain. Let me just say this, I'm not an expert on the brain. I have one, I use it often. But I'm not an expert in this. But I jot some things down that I think you need to know. Okay. Every thought that we have, just like it said, it creates a neurochemical change or a pathway that's in our mind. And the more we think in that direction, the stronger that road becomes. In other words, the more willing we are to travel in that direction. Remember what we said, if we can change our thinking, we're going to change our life. Our actions are following these thoughts that we're having. And we don't understand what's going on in our brain, okay? So watch this. I want you to think about whenever we're having positive thoughts. Let's say around Christmas time, how you buy a gift for someone. And you give them the gift and just, I wanted to bless you. The feeling that we have when we do something like that is pretty powerful, am I right? I mean, it really is. Now, I'm not just talking about, oh, I don't want to buy them anything, but we're going to do it just because it's Christmas. I don't want to be a Scrooge. Okay, all right, let's buy them something. No, I'm talking about the person that you really, really care about and you really, really love. And you buy them that gift. You give it to them. There is something in our brain, there's something in our body that is released that makes us feel really, really good. Am I right? I mean, or better yet, what about when somebody compliments you? That is such a good feeling. Like when somebody comes up to you and says, man, you look fantastic today. And you know you lost that hour and you were a little concerned about how it was going to go today. And it's like, well, thank you. All right. All right. Thank you very much. There's a reward and this dopamine is released. This is where we get our word dope from. Okay. I'm not preaching on drugs today, but hang on. And it's almost like, listen to me, it's almost like there is a legal reward or a positive hit. Now, I'm not talking about the radio station, a positive hit that comes from the right thoughts and the right actions. It feels good. I remember this past summer when we had our serve day. I have this big serve day. We have projects going on, and we're serving our community. And everyone comes back from serving, and even though they're exhausted, and they're sweating, they're tired, and they're overwhelmed, everybody just feels so good. It's like, oh, we just conquered the world. Let's go do some more. But I'm tired, but let's go do some more. And it's just this energy that is released. Why? Because there was a reward for having the right thinking. When you worry, though, and we think worst case, and we're fearful, these overwhelming feelings begin to kick in. You know what I'm talking about? And it's almost like it's the opposite. Like when we're doing good things and we're thinking good things, and there's like this release and it's like really good. But then when things, we're not thinking in that direction, there's this overwhelming sense. It's like Joey mentioned earlier, it's like this storm cloud that's over your head. And what happens is our brain immediately thinks that there is a threat. And so it goes into fight or flight mode. Fear is triggering our reactions. Now, I did a little studying. Bear with me today. I want to make sure I say this. Cynthia's looking at me. Make sure I do it good. There's a part of your brain that is responsible for the response and the memory of emotions, especially fear. And it's called the amygdala. This is big, okay? This is the part of the brain that is responsible for these emotional responses. Now, this is what you have to know. It's a very, very small part of your brain. It's a small part of your brain, but yet it's very, very powerful. And this, in the amygdala, this is where the fight or flight response comes from. Keep in mind, it's a very, very small part of the brain. Now, there's another part of your brain called the frontal cortex. Some of you are like, what in the world? This is like biology. I did not sign up for this. Hang with me. The frontal cortex, though. Now, listen to this. This is the part of the brain that plans complex cognitive behavior. Some of you are looking at me like, what is that? This is the part of your brain that helps you keep your thoughts and actions in accordance with your internal goals. It's almost like it creates an internal accountability for you. Think about this for a second. We have a lot that is right here between our two ears that God has given us to think. But what if we're only responding from one small part of our brain? Think about fight or flight. When I begin to look at this, I realize this is what's happening in our families. Fight and flight. We're fighting and we're fleeing. When we need some people who need to have a little frontal cortex thinking and say, I'm staying. Yes. And we're going to, watch this, figure out how to make this work. Think about this. We're allowing one part of our brain to control it all. Let me say it like this. We're allowing our fears to dictate the directions of our lives. We're fearful of going bankrupt so we don't start the business. But yet we have all of the training, we have all of the experience and all of the contacts, but because of one little fear that somebody told us we need to watch out for, we won't go for it. And everyone around us is saying, you should go for it. And we're praying, God, give me a sign. Send someone into my life, Lord, that would help me to see that this is possible. And they're showing up every day. You should go for it. You should start a business in that. You would be good with this. You can do it, man. You're so gifted. You're so talented. And you're just like, yeah, I don't know, though. The economy, the kids, the time, all of these different things. And what is it? It's one little small part of our brain that is keeping us from using the frontal cortex where we're saying, hold on, I have some goals. I have some dreams. I have some vision. And I believe that we can figure this out because God is for me. Yes. Come on. Yes. This is so important. But we have these strongholds that are holding us back. These strongholds that's affecting and destroying our family. Because we're living out of this one little almond-sized piece of our brain. Come on. That's why sometimes it's so hard for us to believe that God has so much more for us. Because in order to see it, you got to believe it. See, we want to see it first, and then we'll believe it. But with faith, it's, I believe it, and then I'll see it. I believe it. I believe it. Come on, do you believe it? So our thoughts are creating these pathways. And I want you to think through the course of your life, how many pathways have been created in our mind? Always thinking, this is going to be a tough day. Creating a pathway. Always thinking, Mondays are so hard. Creating a path. It's always so hard for me to wake up. Creating a pathway. How many pathways are we creating that's overshadowing our reality? Kids are just rebellious. Church is just taking your money. Come on, think of all of the different thoughts that is literally controlling our minds. And we're allowing it. And why are we doing it? Because we're trying to protect ourselves. That's what we're trying to do. But in the attempt to protect ourselves, what if we're just imprisoning ourselves? What if we realize that God is our protector? Wow. All of this stuff is in how we think. Notice what I said. God wants to touch your heart. And I think everyone will agree how good God is. But you can agree with how good God is, but that doesn't mean that you're living in it. God opened the cabinet door and said, eat all you want. And some of us like, he didn't really mean that. It's a trick. It's a trap. It's a setup. He didn't really mean that. I ain't going to do it. About it. Do we really, really believe what God is saying, or are we enslaved, entrapped in this way of thinking? You get chosen to make the presentation, and you say things like, oh, I don't do presentations. How long you been thinking that way? Since third grade. Do you see what I'm not trying to pick on that stuff. But those thoughts, we keep feeding them, and it makes it so much easier to just go with that. Which is, that's just what I do. That's just how, watch this, that's just how I am. That's how it starts. And then it goes from that's how I am into that's who I am. And now our fear becomes our identity. But everything in the Bible talks about who we are in Christ. And everything that we are in Christ defeats every one of those fears.
Yeah, right.
Wow. How did we get here? We let our thought go down that road one time. And then we went down that road again. Marriage is a ball and chain. Marriage is a ball and chain. And we keep thinking that. Next thing you know, you start treating your spouse like they're just a ball and chain. And that's not what God intended for marriage. But if we keep thinking that way, your marriage will become that. It will. And these are the things that are happening. That's why I say we're allowing one part of our brain to do it all, and it's fight or flight. And I really, really, really believe this is what's breaking down our homes. Because there's fighting that's happening, and there's fleeing that's happening. But God's got so much more for us. And that's why it's so important that we identify the stronghold. Identify it. Think of this. Our thoughts are lazy. Meaning this, they're always going to take the path of least resistance. You don't believe me? Go back to your college days when you had to study. And everybody else was having fun. Didn't it always seem like everybody else on test, like the day before the test, was out having fun but you? That wasn't true. They were cramming too. But this is what our thoughts do. It's easier for us to just sit back. Instead of studying, the kids are playing Fortnite. If you're in middle school, they don't do that anymore. That's not cool anymore, by the way. That's what I was told. Let's keep going. Let's keep going with this, because I know you're all about, let's get them off of Fortnite. But we have a million things that we need to do, and we're scrolling. I mean, I'm not trying to, So our actions are following our thoughts. Let's just dive a little deeper. Because I just, today, I'm not trying to get up in your business. I'm just trying to knock on your door. Maybe I'll knock on your door and run, but I'm knocking on your door, okay? Think about this. Sometimes when people are lonely or angry, think about the actions. Some people, they just say, I need a drink. And that drink can turn into drunk. That's not the road we want to go down, am I right? That's not the road we want to go down. And so instead of taking that path, why don't I just call a friend? Let's get together, man. When we're stressed, feel bad about ourselves. I need food. I need something. Why not take a walk? I mean, I'm throwing out these ideas because these are the little things that we don't think are really, really spiritual. But I need you to know, calling a friend can be very, very spiritual because they could say, hey, man, what's going on? I'm just really feeling overwhelmed right now. And I've had some thoughts to do some things that are not good. But I decided to call you instead, and that friend can encourage you to keep doing the right thing. Like, think of this. Like, these are the little bitty things that if we could just start making adjustments, it can change our lives. And so think about this. Stress, feel bad about yourself. I need food. I'm bored. I don't know what to do, so I'm scrolling through social media or maybe even looking at pornography. I mean, these are the things that are occurring. And we just don't think like, oh, it's just part of life. And slowly, though, it's eroding us and it's pulling us into traps. And it's putting us in a position to not live the life that God has for us, even though in our heart we believe God's got an incredible life for us. We agree, but that's for them. My lot in life is what I have, and we're just going to make it through. Bless the Lord. Praise Jesus. See you on Easter. But you remember what we said, if we could change our thinking, we could change our life. We could create some new pathways. So let's think about it. What's the stronghold that's holding you back? What's the one thing that thought that is dominating your mind? Maybe it was something that your dad said to you when you were younger. Maybe it's something that was told to you by a teacher or someone in an authority position. It could have even been a pastor. Maybe it was something that you were together with a group of friends and it was a moment of rejection. And that moment of rejection, that one night where you didn't get invited to the party, has turned into a life reflection of, I don't feel like anybody wants me to be a part of their life. And because of that, your guard is always up. And now we don't have friends and we don't have relationships. And we think everybody else is the problem, but yet people are inviting us. And we're just like, no, I can't. This is a setup. They're just going to invite me because they feel bad for me because no one ever invites me. And I'm going to go and they're going to feel good about it, but they're never going to invite me again. The cycle. Do you see what I'm saying? The cycle of thoughts that just keep going. Maybe you had that one boyfriend years ago that did something to you or said something to you. And now it has defined and shaped your thinking about men. Or maybe it was a girlfriend or even an ex-wife that did something to you and it shaped your entire view of women. And now you think all men are like this and all women are like that. It's not true. Or maybe it was a church that you were in and that pastor did this or that deacon did that or that leader did this or those people did that. And now all churches are like that. It's just not true. It's just not true, but we allow ourselves to keep thinking that way, and we entrap ourselves in the zone. Oh, I don't do that. I don't do churches. I don't do that. I don't hang out with other people. Like, these are the things that are coming out, and God's like, I'm trying to bring miracles into your life. I'm trying to bring resources into your life. I'm trying to bring provision. I'm putting the key people in your life, and you're just blocking them all out because you keep thinking this way. Like, God, why don't you answer my prayers? And God's like, trying to. I'm working really hard here. Thoughts like, I'm not lovable. I'm not worth it. I'll never be good enough. Because of my past, I don't deserve anything good. God can't use me. I don't know enough. I'm stuck. I'm always depressed. I'll always be broke. I just feel helpless. I feel overwhelmed. I'm worthless. This is all pointless. Like, these are the thoughts. So what is the stronghold that has created a path that has taken your life in the wrong direction? Here's the second thing. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. I love this part. Identify the stronghold. And it may take you some time to figure out what it is. But this part is ready right now. Identify the stronghold and then name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. You know that verse that says, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free? This is like what the parents like to use on their teenagers. You're lying to me. You're lying to me. I know you're lying to me. I could tell. You're twitching. How do you know that? I could tell. Something's up with you. You're lying. You know the truth will set you free. And we use that kind of verse as leverage to try to get our kids to tell us stuff that they don't feel like telling us. I'm just being honest. I was a youth pastor for a while. It kind of messes with me, okay? But the truth is not just a statement. The truth is a person. Yeah. And that person is Jesus. Come on. And so if I know the truth, the person of Jesus, he is going to set me free. That's why it's so important that you don't just read it, but you know him. You got to know him. And the relationship with Jesus is so powerful because it begins to influence your thinking. I remember my dad telling me, I don't like you hanging out with those people. They're influencing you. They're making you say things you don't usually say. And they're making you do things you usually do. I'm going to end this relationship with these people. And I'm telling you, you mess with a teenager's friends and they will fight you. Will fight you, am I right? You mess with a lot. You can get mad at me for not cleaning my room, but don't talk about my friends. My people. My family. The relationship with Jesus, though, is the influence of our thinking and the influence of our actions. And that relationship, when it's greater than all these other things in our life, watch this, our life goes in the right direction. That's why we have to understand the importance of following Jesus. Am I right? Yeah. So let's break this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Pretension. Pre, before, tension, stress. I'm going to get ahead of this thing. Before I even go down the road of stress, I'm going to demolish this stronghold because I know who Jesus is. Are you seeing this? I'm going to demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That word take captive is a war term. And again, I don't mean to be aggressive, but you have to be aggressive with your thoughts because they are aggressive with you. You don't believe me? Let some temptation come your way. In your area of struggle, if you've dealt with addiction, let that stuff come around you. That temptation is aggressive. It's very aggressive. And we have to learn to be aggressive with these thoughts. And so when you see that word, it says take captive every thought. It's a war term that literally means to capture it with a sword. Capture it with a sword. In other words, I'm not just going to swat it away. Go away. Leave me alone. Nuh-uh. I'm going to demolish the stronghold. I'm going to capture it with the sword. In the armor of God, when you read the book of Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. There is only one weapon that is listed, and it is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword represents, watch this, the word of God. It is the word of God. That's why we tell the kids, and I remember learning in Sunday school and children's church, growing up, they would always say, read your Bible and pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day. I ain't got time for that. I got too much to do. My favorite show is on. I got to work. I got to go do this. Read your Bible and pray every day. Why? Because you're just loading up with artillery every time you read that word. Every time you pray, every time you're getting in God's presence, what are you doing? I am loading up so that every time those thoughts come, I am going to demolish those thoughts. Every argument that conflicts with what God says about me, I'm going to demolish it because I know what God has said, and I have built my life off of what he said, and all these little lies and this marketing scheme of the enemy that tries to make me believe that he's got something better for me. I've seen what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness, when the devil said, come and worship me and I'll give it all to you, and Jesus said, you can't tempt me. I built my life on the word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Come on, somebody. We're just talking about the brain today, though. We're just talking about the brain. That's all. That's all we're doing, just talking about the brain. We're losing our minds up in here. That would help some of you. Goodness. Sitting there and we're saying, I can't get all of this done. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're saying, I just feel so weak. But he says, in your weakness, I am strong. And you're saying, I'm not a good mom. But he's saying, with Christ in you, you're good enough. Come on, you're more than good enough. I'm scared about the future. And he says, just worry not. How do you do that? You tear down strongholds. Got faith in God. God's not going to leave me. I don't feel like anyone loves me. I don't feel like anyone cares. And yet the Bible goes on and on explaining God's love to us. There's a truth for every stronghold that we're dealing with. Romans 8 is full of these declarations. It's just full of them. They're everywhere in Romans 8, and I love this chapter. It's full of declarations that tear down lies and strongholds of the enemy. It says things like this, and I want to make it personal for us today. It says things like this. There is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Some of you, you were dealing with condemnation this morning. You said things like this to yourself. Man, it's been a long time since I've been at church. I probably should have been going a long time ago. Everybody's going to look at me like I'm guilty. It's a little bitty condemning thought. You're not good enough. There's no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. Watch this. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, has set me free from sin and death. That's in verse 2, by the way. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and is motivating me to live right. That's verse 11, in case you were wondering. I am led by God, and thus I am a child of God. Verse 14, come on. I can call God Father. Why? Because I'm his child. And so now the relationship is building. And so now he's not just God in heaven. He's not just the old man upstairs. He's my father. I got a relationship going with him. Come on, somebody. That's verse 15, in case you were wondering. I got to give you the reference so you don't think I'm just making this up. Through Christ, I am an heir of God, and I am inheriting divine blessings. That means I've been adopted into his family, and I have all the rights that the sons have, even though I've been adopted in. I'm included in his inheritance. Watch this. He wrote me in his will. You didn't grab that. He wrote me in his will. And the will isn't executed until there is a death. And Jesus went to the cross and he died. And when he died, the will was rolled out. And everything in the will, he says, it's yours. I'm getting fired up. This is just Bible. Brain and Bible today. That's all it is. Brain and Bible. They ask you what y'all talked about at church. Brain and Bible. Brain and Bible. Watch this. My body will be redeemed, set free, and made whole. Verse 23. The Spirit helps me in my weaknesses with intercessions from deep inside. In other words, I'm trying, God, but the Holy Spirit is right there on the side saying, you're going to make it. I'm talking to the Father on your behalf, and we're setting up things along the way to help you to go the extra mile. You think you can only make it this far? God's got a whole nother extra mile for you. Come on, that's verse 26, or verse 28. Watch this. All things work together for my good because I love God, and I'm called according to his purpose. Verse 28, God takes initiative to know, guide, call, justify, and glorify me, helping me to become more and more like Jesus. Verse 29 and 30, if God is for me, then who can be against me? Verse 31, in all things I am more than a conqueror through Christ's love. That's verse 37. Watch this. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. That is verse 38 and verse 39. Come on, I feel like we need to put our hands together because this is truth that demolish strongholds. All the thoughts, they're coming down today. This is how I fight my battle.